Thank you very much. You are recording this, aren't you? I appreciate that. I want to play that introduction back to me sometime or another, when I get down a little bit. Thank you for the wonderful fellowship this morning, and thank you, Danny, for that beautiful song that you did such a professional job of singing. He isn't here to hear me. You thought it was a solo. It certainly was not. It was a duet. Now, you heard Danny, but our brother in the wheelchair back there was singing right along with him. I could see the movement of it, but he was singing right along with it. All right? Amen. That's right. Glad to be back. Ross Perot came back. Magic Johnson came back. Wonder how far behind will Richard Nixon? He'll be back. Elvis Presley is not coming back. Now, some people claim he has come back, but I don't believe that's the truth. A lot of people wish he had never come the first time. I'm pretty sure. But it's good to be here with my special friend, Pastor Martin, and his lovely family. Now, if there's anybody here at all that wants to say anything bad about him, don't say it to me. I'll fight you. Now, he is one of the finest young men that I know of in the whole country, and I do travel around quite a little bit. Since I was here last, my wife and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. Thank you. Thank you. But I need to tell you that our marriage is in a heap of trouble. We're having a lot of problems. I'm trying to get her to sign up for 50 more years. But a spirit of unbelief and rebellion has gotten a hold of her. She doesn't think we can make it. I argue anything we can do once, we ought to be able to do twice. How about it? Yeah, yeah. Right. And if we could just be married for 100 years, I think we'd have it made. Have any of you ever heard of anybody dying that had been married for 100 years? Well, I'm going for it. Amen. We just lack 46 more years and we'll have it made. Praise God. I would appreciate it, and she would appreciate it also, if you would remember in your prayers her father. He had major surgery this week. Tomorrow will be a week ago. His gallbladder was removed. One lady went to see her pastor after church one Sunday morning and said, "I want you to pray for my gallbladder." He said, I don't really pray for people's organs, that sort of thing. She said, "Oh, yes, you did last Sunday." He said, "I did, yeah." He said, "You prayed for all the loose livers in the church." So he my father-in-law had almost a cup full of stones in his gallbladder. It was a mountain of stones. But he's a survivor. He really is. 96 years of age. On his 96th birthday, he went out and bought him a new suit. And he'll probably wear it out. He told me here not long ago, 2 more years and I'll have enough money to buy another new car. I'm not going to tell him he's never going to buy another new car. He may do it. I may not, but he may do it. He has optimistic faith, but she and I will appreciate it very much if you will remember them in your prayers. Now, tonight, God willing, I hope you will be back in service. I hope you will, because tonight we're going to have a lot of fun. I'll guarantee we are. I'm going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to really enjoy being here, and as I am this morning, but we'll have a lot of fun tonight, so read the 4th chapter of John. I want to try to solve a little mystery. There's a mystery hidden in that chapter, and I'd like you to read it between halftime this afternoon. Halftime, would you take time just to read the 4th chapter of John? You'll have plenty of time. A few of you are grinning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Others haven't caught up with me yet, but it'll dawn on you about 3 o'clock this afternoon, probably. There'll be a lot of family quarrels and fights this afternoon, because some members of the family are going to be rooting for the Cowboys and other members of the family are going to be rooting for the Raiders. And next week, the pastor will do some pastoral counseling to try to settle some of those arguments. Now, there was a lot of fighting going on last night because of the World Series. And a lot of arguments. I checked into the motel. The lady at the desk told me immediately that she was a rooter for the Blue Jays. I'm from Canada, she said. Well, let's get back to church tonight. Will you do that? And we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a lot of fun, I'll guarantee you. Fun tonight. Big mystery. Open your Bibles, if you don't mind now, to Luke. Luke, the second chapter. No. Philippians, the second chapter. Let's go there, if you will. Philippians, the second chapter. That's in the New Testament. Somewhere in the New Testament. The second chapter and the fifth verse. I'm glad to know that the pastor's wife's donut business is doing real good. I saw a sign on the side of the road, TJ's Donuts. So I whipped that Mosmobile around and go in there going to get me a donut right quick. And it was sold out. So I didn't get a TJ's Donut this morning. Maybe I'll make it in the morning. Well, I learned after I came to church it wasn't Sister Martin's donut shop. But there's a TJ that attends his church that is her shop. Philippians 2:5. I'll read in the King James Version. You read in whatever version you have. I feel like whatever's good enough for Paul is good enough for me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ? I tell some of my youth camp friends, I can read your mind. And they argue with me, no, you can't read my mind. Yes, I can read your mind. Okay, read it. You are thinking that I can't tell you what you're thinking about. Well, okay. I hit it every time. Never lose on that deal. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. David said, my heart is fixed. Now, they didn't have heart transplants back in those days. They didn't have an open heart surgery. What is he talking about? He's talking about a mind. My mind is made up. I'm going to do certain things or not do certain things. Paul said, I determine to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hey, that's pretty big stuff there. Jesus set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He had it in His mind, I'm going to Jerusalem. Now the disciples said, you can't go up there. There's a bloodthirsty mob waiting for you. They'll kill you. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus did not come to this world for a certain group of people, only in one category. The Bible said Jesus came to save sinners, all kind of sinners. And I'm on a crusade, ladies and gentlemen, to try to encourage people to read their Bible on a daily basis. You cannot be a strong spiritual giant by just going to church every once in a while, or reading the book every once in a while, or hear somebody read it every once in a while. No more than you can be a healthy person by eating one good, balanced, square meal per week. No more than you can be healthy if you run 10 miles in one day. It'll be much better if you eat a good, balanced, square meal at least once a day and run a mile one day or 10 days. So it is with your spiritual life. You cannot be spiritually strong if you ignore this book by reading the newspapers and magazines. And I'm not fighting reading newspapers and magazines. You cannot grow spiritually strong by watching the news at 5:30 every day, particularly CBS News, the left liberals in the crowd. I hope you will not allow the news media to elect the President of the United States 1 week from next Tuesday. I hope you will be there to vote for yourself. Could I see a good amen on that? Don't let the news media, the liberal news media, persuade you into, you know, casting your vote a certain direction. No, you have the authority to make up your own mind. With all the facts put together, we're going to elect a president. That will be true. So be sure to make up your own mind and cast your own battle. You know, Chicken Little is alive and doing well. How many of you know the story about Chicken Little? Come on, raise your hand. There you are. Chicken Little is alive and doing well. Every presidential election that I have lived through, and in my age I have lived through quite a few of them, the world is falling apart if you don't elect certain individuals as to be the president of the United States. That is not the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Our country is not falling apart. Maybe the Congress is falling apart, and it should fall apart. Amen? Anybody that'll go up there and write hot checks like crazy, boy, I'll tell you, it costs me if I write a hot check to the F&M Bank and Dillon. They don't smile upon that sort of thing. Not at all. So maybe the Congress is falling apart, and I think it needs to fall apart and come back together. Never was so sick and tired of a self-serving Congress in my life, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I better get off of politics because I see some of you are frowning at me, and we'll do something else for a while. Think big is my subject for this morning. Think big. And I am thinking big about this church this morning. I really am thinking big. Let the mind of God be in you, and you will think big also. I'm thinking big because, Danny, I see this church full of people. Are there enough people in this community and around this community to fill this church? Would you nod your head like that? Are there enough people in this community, around this community, that are not going to church anywhere that needs to be in the church to fill it? Would you shake your head again? That's right. I am thinking big, Pastor. We are going to have a church grow. Let the church grow. I like what you said a moment ago. The church is not an organization. It's an organism. I made myself a little note. I'm going to quote you on that, and because that is the truth. When Jesus was born, God was thinking big. Hey, I'm not going to have my son born the regular way it's done. I'm going to stagger the imagination of the intelligentsia of the day. I'm going to have my son born of a virgin. Oh, boy. There are a lot of people in this world before the days of artificial insemination. But I believe in the immaculate conception and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Will you shake your head and say amen to that? I believe in that. However anybody wants to denounce it, I'm still... That's no big problem with God to have that sort of thing to be performed. Why, He made the heavens and all the earth and all the heavens and all the worlds that were. God made them. What a big thinking God that we serve today. What a big God. A sun that's been burning for millions of years, it never burns out. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, glory to God. The morning, you see it in the morning, it sets down in the evening. Friend called me about 1 o'clock one morning. One of those Yankees up north called me. And he woke me up. He asked, did I wake you up? I said, of course you woke me up. And he said, what time is it? I said, it's 1 o'clock. Is it that late? I said, certainly it is. It's at 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, he said, well, I didn't realize. Well, I said, you Yankees may have a new sun, but we've got an old sun. It got tired and went to bed several hours ago. Most of the time when people call me late at night, they don't ask, did I wake you up? They usually ask me, did it get you out of bed? And I always say, no, no, but I'm a little afraid to call you so late. I'm afraid to get you out. No, you didn't get me out of bed. Now, well, good. They felt good out about it. Now, very seldom they have to wake you up. The reason they don't get me out of bed, I have a telephone right by the side of my bed. So I just turned over and answered the telephone. We had a neighbor that passed away August the 12th, 1992. Some people ask, where do you get all this funny stuff that you talk about? Well, it happens every day. Just listen and watch and read. You'll find it. It happened August the 12th, 1992. And they put our name on the chart at the hospital for a friend of ours who was seriously ill. And every time I'd go to see him in the hospital nursing home, I would come home and tell Anna Mae, Bob is dying. And, you know, obvious, he's in a coma, and his breath is getting shorter. And I'm not a pessimist, but I'm a realist, you see. Death was there. So she put our name on the chart because they don't have any relatives in the community, in the town where they live, 9 miles from us. And so she put our name on the chart. 4 o'clock in the morning, the telephone rang. Who in the world is calling at this hour? And the nurse said, Mr. Hunt passed away. And Mrs. Hunt needs somebody with us, and I'll be there in just a few moments. I pulled my clothes on and rushed down there. Got there before the funeral director. Bob was lying in the bed. They hadn't even pulled the sheet over, and Mrs. Hunt went away, and the nurse was standing there, and the funeral director came in and picked up the body, and we went to Winnie Mae's house, and I started calling the relatives and friends out of town, and the preacher, she wanted to preach the funeral. And that afternoon, we went with her. Anna Mae came in later that day, and we went with her to the funeral home to pick out the casket that she's going to bury Bob in. And when Winnie Mae saw the price of that casket, she turned and said to me, Bob would die if he knew I spent that much for a casket. Friends, I never wanted to laugh so bad in my life at a serious situation. I wanted to say, Winnie, Bob is dead and we're going to bury him. Honey, I've laughed about it so many times. I told a little new friend that I made not shortly after that. Her husband died in January this year. And she was crying and telling me about her husband's death. And then I told her what happened to Winnie. And then she laughed through her tears and said what she should have said was, Bob will come right up out of that casket when he finds out you spent that much. I think I serve a big God. He thinks big. When Lazarus was healed, oh, Lazarus. I mean, you remember the fellow Lazarus. And I'm not going to raise him up, you know, 30 minutes thereafter. I had a cousin that died 7 times this summer. And finally, the medical profession told his wife, said, Nellie, you would not want him to live. He's died 7 times. And he'd be nothing more than a vegetable, his heart beating and breathing. So, you know, God allowed Lazarus to be dead for 3 days. And I want you, that was thinking big when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I believe that story. Amen. Why do I believe that story? Because it's written in God's Word. Amen. I guess I got on the hot wire there. I believe that. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you to read God's Word on a daily basis. And I have some free literature I'm going to give you tonight. There's somebody here that just can't make it here tonight for some reason or other. You see me at the close of the service, and I'll get to the car and pull you out some free literature to try to help you to read God's Word on a daily basis. Why? 11% of the people in America, according to a poll, only read the Bible daily. 18% of evangelicals read the Bible. 25% of professing Christians never read the Bible at all. You cannot grow spiritual like that, my friend. Amen. It's no wonder that there are so many Christians groping in darkness because they never read this book. You'll find directions of how to live in this book. You'll find forgiveness of sins, and we'd have a lot fewer backsliders if it stay in this book, because nobody knows the trouble I see. And Norman Vincent Peale said, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Read the book. You'll find out that your temptations are not uncommon. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with a temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. One of the first verses I memorized after I became a Christian as a young teenager. Well, all teenagers are young, but very young, in the young years of my being a teenager. Amen. I memorized that verse, and whatever everything happened to me, I'd always go back to that verse of Scripture and say, everybody else is having problems also. John Reading wrote in his book, when a worm falls into a bowl of horseradish, he probably thinks the whole world is horseradish. And isn't that the way of us? We have trouble. Nobody's having trouble like I have. And isn't that about right? Nobody has ever seen the trouble that I see, like the old boy that wrote that psalm when it's a rainy night in Georgia, it's raining all over the world. And when everything's going good with us, we seem to think everything is going good with everybody else. And that is not the truth either. None of those are the truth. Read the book. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." I found that in God's word. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study to show thyself. Add to your virtue knowledge. Knowledge is an accumulation of facts. One man asked another, "Have you seen the Beatitudes?" He said, "I don't know. What channel are they on?" We need to know something about God, and to know something about God, we do it by studying God's Word. Some people are looking for some sort of a hocus-pocus, rotten tomatoes and tin cans to make them a spiritual giant. It's not going to happen, my friend. Amen. They think somebody's going to come out and wave some magical wand over them and make them strong in the Lord. That's not going to happen, my friend. They've been waving magical wands since the Old Testament time. You remember the man that threw down his rod, and it turned to a snake, and other people did the same thing. He picked it up and turned back to rod. They did the same. They did the same thing. That magical, mystical thing has been around since the time of the beginning of mankind. You need to study God's Word. We have some information that'll help you. 90 minutes a week, you can read God's Word through in an entire year. One man has read the Bible through 57 times. Had two sons, and both of them turned out to be ministers of the gospel. Amen. My family and I try to not let one day go by but what we read some of this book. We prefer to do it in the first thing in the morning, read some of this book. Oh, hallelujah. What a source of strength and what a source of power. Thank God. He will lead and guide and direct you in all truth and righteousness. That's what this book said. If you're being led astray, ladies and gentlemen, maybe you need to get into God's Word. Think big. Amen. Think big. Now I try to practice this sort of thing. How many of you have ever had major surgery? Would you mind raising your hand? You've had major surgery? Okay. June 10th, 1991, they cut a melanoma cancer off of my back. I didn't even know that mole was back there, let alone knew it was cancerous. And when they did the surgery, the doctor said, "We're going to take skin off of your leg to patch that hole in your back." And they did that. And the surgery was successful. So one of the times when Anna Mae and I was back to see the doctor, she asked the doctor, "Why did you take off so much skin? There's more skin off the leg than there is to cover that hole in his back." He said, "Well, I didn't like the first piece that I took off, so I took off another piece." But what happened was he ran that first piece through a perforator and his machine tore it up. So he had to go over and get some more skin. That's his story. My story is he was looking for some 18-year-old skin on a 70-year-old man. And he cut some off. "Well, that's not it. We'll take off some more. Just keep on. There's got to be some safe 18-year-old skin down there somewhere." We had a barrel of fun. I mean literally a barrel of fun. From beginning to end. One day the doctor said, "We got to get some air to that leg and to that back. So Adonai took about five of my shirts and cut a big hole in them and cut off one leg of three pairs of jeans. Now, friends, I don't know why she just cut off one leg. Maybe it's because any man can wear cutoffs. But did we have fun about that? Oh, my, people look up at me and they look at my leg. And look at me, look at me. You're wondering what happened, aren't you? No. Yes, you are, and I'm going to tell you. I went out for the Dallas Cowboys. I caught a pass at the 5-yard line. The time I got to 1 yard, one of those big old bruisers piled on me and just poured that leg into the turf. You don't believe that? No. Well, hold on. I'm getting closer to the truth all the time. I was riding that Bramer bull and rodeo, and just before the buzzer went off, it threw me into the fence. You don't believe that either, do you? Well, then I'd tell them what actually happened. We had fun. Oh, we had fun. And the neighbors got to laughing at me. They said, George, well, this is in June. Through hot weather. What are you going to do when it turns cold weather? I said, man, I hope I can start wearing that pants with both legs in it. And then when I started wearing pants with both legs in it, they kidded me further. George, I almost didn't recognize you with your clothes on. Get out of here. Oh, man. On June the 14th, 1991, they discovered my prostate had cancer in it. So the surgeon said the best thing to do, top of the line, is take out the prostate and get rid of the cancer. All these other therapies, you just hope to keep it in submission, remission. Okay, we'll have the... Did we have fun? I mean, we had fun. I was thinking big. I was not thinking little, like dying. I was thinking big about living. I'm going to come through this surgery all right. And so, Anime, they wanted me to give my own blood. Now, that's all right with me, too. That I didn't want to take that one in a million chance of getting some kinky blood. So I said, yeah, we'll do that. So Anime checked with a nutritionist. And she said, what you need to do is build George up and give him that first pint of blood and then build him up again. Let him get another pint and then build him up again. Then you'll be ready for the surgery. And you do that by giving him some vitamins that have the greatest potency in them. And the greatest potency vitamin that you women who've given birth to children are prenatal vitamins. Now, wait a minute. You're getting there before I do. And I went to see the doctor and told the receptionist, I don't have an appointment. I just want to talk to the doctor for a moment. And the doctor, she called him up and he came out. Nana May said, I need some prenatal vitamins. The doctor put his head in his hands and leaned over against the wall. Oh, God, help us. He thought he had a pregnant 70-year-old woman on his hands. The little receptive raised up and said, you gotta be kidding! We had fun. I was thinking about recovery. I was thinking about living, not dying. Man, no, I'm thinking, I got a lot of work to do yet. I got a lot of things I want to accomplish. Not thinking about dying, thinking about living, thinking big. Oh, praise God forever. What a time we had. What a wonderful time we had. And what a glorious opportunity to be in a hospital to witness to doctors and nurses when they come and sit on the side of your bed and ask you, how can you do this? Man, hey, I have faith in God. When they come and sit on the side of your bed and start telling you about all their troubles and can you help me? Amen. When the physicians, we've never had a patient like this before. We don't know. We don't know how to explain it. Amen. I read Dr. Siegel's book on love, medicine, and miracles. He's a neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Amen. I read Gifted Hands by another surgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Had a lot of time to think. I read 7 books during convalescing, some books I'd been wanting to read. And I had a lot of time to work on some problems. And I solved one or two to my own satisfaction. I decided I was getting at the awkward age in life, a little too young to junk and a little too old overhaul. Amen. But also came to a satisfactory solution to another problem as far as I'm concerned. I now understand why God does not allow old people to have babies. They'd lay that child down and walk off, forget where they left it. Wouldn't be any good for the kid to cry because they can't hear him cry either. Wife and I have had physical examinations ever since we turned 40. That's been about 10 years ago. Always we have had teeth checked, eyes checked, but this summer we had our hearing checked and Anna Mae turned up 30% deaf. Now they're nice. They call it hearing loss. I call it deaf. But what happened was she went to sleep while she's in that quiet little booth listening to all that beep, beep, beep. And they wouldn't do that test over. But don't feel sorry for her. I mean, she's getting good mileage out of this. Good mileage. She's taking advantage of it. Starts to tell him, would you do so-and-so? He came back, did you do what I asked you to do? Did you ask me to do something? You know I'm 30% deaf. One old gentleman thought his wife was losing her hearing, so he positioned himself across the room from her and asked her, can you hear me? She didn't say anything, so he moved a little closer and asked her, can you hear me? She still didn't. He moved a little closer and asked, can you hear me? She still didn't say anything. So he moved his chair right up behind her and asked her, can you hear me? She turned and said, yes, for the fourth time, I can hear you. Think big. Don't think about being defeated. Think about winning. Amen. Don't think about a church half full. Think about the church totally full. Chairs up the front, down the aisles. Amen. Don't think about dying. Think about living. Praise God forever. Don't think about being overcome. Think about overcoming. You can handle this situation. You and God are bigger than any problem you ever face. Amen to them, will you? Amen. You and God are bigger than any problem you will ever face. How do I know that? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. Paul said that. And I don't know. Maybe Henry Ford read that. He said, if you think you can, you're right, you can. If you think you can't, you're right, you can't. Get this mindset. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Go just a little bit further. He said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, I will not forgive you of your trespasses. Does God hold grudges? Yes. Yes, he does. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I want to be ashamed of you before my Father who's in heaven. Now, you can come confessing and repenting, and he will not hold that against you. But Jesus is not happy with you witnessing about baseball, football, basketball, wrestling, whatever you want to witness, but you never say anything about him. Jesus doesn't like that. Jesus is not pleased about you talking about Clinton and Bush and Peralta, the Democrats or the Republicans, but you never say anything about him and his word. He doesn't like that. He said it in the book. If you haven't read that, you need to read the book. If you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. If you don't forgive people of their sins, I will forgive you of your sins. Call it a grudge, call it whatever you want to. But he said, this is the way it is. You forgive. You come to me and ask for forgiveness, and I'll forgive you. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Think big. And then you know who Jerry Clower is. Jerry Clower. Oh, yeah. I like some of Jerry Clower's stories.
I really do. But he's not only a storyteller, he's a Baptist layman preacher. Have you ever heard him preach? Have you ever heard him preach? I have. I have one. Two or three of us have. And he can preach. Absolutely. Jerry Clower tells a story down in Mississippi. There's a construction job going on, and a woman with 13 children, some of them got the playing out around there, and one of the little boys fell in a barrel of tar. And a little older boy ran to the house and told his mother, come out here quick, that his younger brother fell falling into that tar. She came out there and pulled him out, packed him up against the wall, and said, boy, I can have another baby easier than I can clean you up. Some of us need to let God do a big job on us to cleanse our minds. Hallelujah. To cleanse our minds and cleanse our hearts so that we can live a victorious, overcoming life for Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns, he's not going to do it just a little job. It's going to be a big job. Big job. The trump of God is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. I have a friend that told me, he's not a Pentecostal. He said, my congregation will be the first. And I said, how do you care that? He said, well, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. There's not anybody any deader than my congregation. Trump's going to sound. Oh, glory to God. We, which are alive, are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I believe that story. If you can't believe the virgin birth, the immaculate conception, you can't believe the crucifixion, you can't believe the resurrection, you can't believe the ascension, you can't believe the return of Jesus Christ either. But I believe what's written in this book. One star said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. One small story and I'll be through. John Redding wrote it in his book. A doctor who's called out late one night to a family of a woman that was in childbirth pains. Poor family. He looked around. Said, oh God, these people don't need another baby to feed. They can't take care of the children they have already. But he delivered that baby, and it was crippled. The doctor thought for a moment, I believe I'll just not make him breathe. I'll just let him die. The kids will probably call him when he grows up, Crip. Nickname. He doesn't have a chance in life. But then the doctor remembered his Hippocratic oath, and he had to do what he could to make the child live. He breathed in his mouth his own breath until the child started breathing on its own and changed its color, and he saved the baby. Years went by, and the doctor's daughter and her husband was killed in an automobile accident. The doctor and the grandparents took the grandchild into race, and she developed a sickness. The doctor way out in Montana was having good luck with. So he loaded up his granddaughter and took her to the doctor in Montana. When he walked into that doctor's office, there stood the man that had saved his life years ago. A crippled physician who saved this doctor's granddaughter. Amen. You look at me and you'll look at a sinful, selfish, greedy human being. But you look at me after the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to my heart and my life, and my sins are gone. They're washed away. I don't boast of my generosity, but you'll find a man that gives. I've got so many people on my list that I give to the sight in this world. I hate to turn anybody down when they're right. They need help. Because I read this book, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, keeping up, shall men give in your bosom. If you want to receive, give. You can't receive if you don't give. Give. Don't try to talk me out of it. I started this when I was a teenage boy. First big job I had paid me $9 a day. No, wait a minute. $9 a week, $1.50 a day. $9 a week. And that was not from 8 o'clock to 10 and take a coffee break and then go back to work a little more and an hour break for lunch. And then go back to work at 1 o'clock and take a Coke break mid-afternoon and go back to work the rest of that. That was from can until can't. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There are a few of you. When it got light enough to work in the morning and it got too dark to work in the afternoon in the summertime, that was a tall can. $9 I got for that week. I walked into that church. I gave 10 cents offering and 90 cents tithes. I've kept that practice up from that day to this, and I intend to keep it up. You're not going to talk me out of it. Nobody can talk me out of it. Some people say, well, if I made a lot of money, I'd give a lot of money. No, if you don't give a little money when you make a little money, you wouldn't give a lot of money when you make a lot of money. Amen. John Hagee said a man came to him and told him he wasn't meeting his financial obligations and he just didn't have enough income. Would you please pray that God will increase my income? He's faithful tither and got along in his generous giving. God blessed him until he was making 10 times more than he was making. Then he came back to the pastor and said, I just can't afford to pay this much tithe. I just can't afford to give this much then John said, I'll pray for you that God will reduce you back to where you were before you started being blessed. Oh, I said, don't do that. No, don't do that. Think big. Think big. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Some of these days, it's all going to be over. And we're going to have life eternal. No more trouble. No more heartaches. We won't need any wheelchairs over there. You'll walk perfectly. We won't bring hearing aids over there from a little friend over here, Matt. Amen. We won't need our glasses anymore. Oh, everybody's going to have good health. I buried one of my friends that had been pastor of church for nearly 40 years. He lacked just too much being 90 years of age. Last month in September, we buried him. And as I was talking to the people, I was the fourth speaker. I've never been such a long funeral in my life. I was the fourth speaker. I had to have four speakers tell all the good there was to tell about him. And I said, I hope you make the catch of the day. I know some people out there, you don't know there's fishing going on in heaven. No, I don't know that there's fishing going on. And you don't know there's not fishing going on in heaven. I know the book said there's a river. And what's a river worth if it doesn't have any fish in it? Amen. All of our troubles will be over and we'll be so glad that we studied this map. We found out what was in this book. And we made it. That's the only way you get there. The reason that people are lost, they don't know anything about Jesus Christ. The only reason millions of people don't know God, they don't know anything about it. So they bow down to Muhammad or Confucius or whomever it might be. The whole world needs to know about the plan of salvation, his son Jesus Christ. So we'll bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for these nice, patient, beautiful people who have listened so intently to your servant, trying to bless and inspire and uplift their lives. I can't do it, but you can. You can do it, Lord. You can take our troubles and wash them all away, or help us to find a solution to our problems, and our questions and answer to our questions. God, what every group or individual problems that were that came in this sanctuary this morning, heartaches, disappointments, family problems, economic problems, health problems, whatever they may be, help these people leave this sanctuary today lifted up, thinking big, thinking of overcoming, being delivered, and living for you in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet right now? I'm going to ask the pastor to come back and pray a pastoral prayer for you. But would you join with me right now and raise both of your hands toward heaven and begin to magnify the Lord, begin to praise His holy name, calling all the good names you think of, Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting God, the Wonderful Counselor, the Great I Am. In spite of any difficulty, in spite of any negativism, let's thank God right now, will you? Let's praise Him out of the depths of our heart. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Dying on the cross that we might have life eternal. You shed your blood for sinners, the vilest of sinners. It includes all sinners. Amen. You don't love sin, but you do love sinners. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your great heart of love. Hallelujah. We appreciate you, Master, in Jesus' name.